Blog Talk Radio.
This is Dorian Wallace.
This is Raina Starr. How you doing? Welcome to Desperate Auschwitches. Okay, so before we get started with the show, and tonight's a big one. I said big one. You heard me. For those of you who are new, thank you for coming over and listening, but here is your following announcement. Desperate Auschwitches is not a GPG R or even an X-rated show, so if dirty talk, bodily function, or other things that might be considered offensive will upset you, this may not be the show for you. However, if that stuff doesn't bother you, bitch, come sit by me, because I got some shit to say. Anyway, Desperate Auschwitches is brought to you by the one, the only, the incredible Wicked One herself, Wicked Witch Studios, Dorothy Morrison. Let me tell you what, Dorothy Morrison is amazing, and she is making her 2020 home blessing ornaments. I am telling you, you will not regret getting these, and get in twos, because you know, as I always say, balls are best bought in pairs. So,
yes, get you some Dorothy balls.
Get you some Dorothy Morrison balls. That's www.wickedwitchstudios.com. And if you need her products shipped overseas, check out theangrycauldron.com at www.theangrycauldron.com. They make fine pagan goods as well, and they do Dorothy's international shipping. Okay, so, yeah. I'm having a moment because it is rare that twice in 2 months do I get the opportunity to have an utter and complete fangirl moment, because tonight's guest is Matt Oren, and Matt Oren is not an easy person to catch up with. As a matter of fact, he is so not easy to catch up with. I now call him Winja, which is Witch Ninja, because you do not know where you are going to find him. And we are going to talk about his book tonight. So, and let me tell you something. I have seen some promotional shit in my day. I have been around the block, some people would say several times. I don't know. It could happen. Maybe it did. Maybe it didn't. Maybe I'll admit it. Maybe I won't. No, fuck it. I'll admit it. Yes, I've been around the block a lot. But I will tell you something. His new book, Psychic Witch, which I did not know I was supposed to ask for a pre-show copy of, because it doesn't occur to me that, like, folks can actually do that very often, because, you know, shit costs money. Things cost money. This man put his heart and soul into this book. I don't normally ask for freebies. It doesn't really happen like that with me. I usually buy every fucking thing I review or talk about. So I'm like, he's like, did you read the book? And I'm like, no, sorry, I'm waiting for the release date. And he was like, oh, okay. I'm like, it's all right, you haven't listened to my show either, so we're both in for a surprise, I'm sure. but let me tell you something. Yeah, I tried to give him a little bit of a heads up about us, sis. You know, we're not the typical show. We don't sit there with bullet points and questions. But because that's just not us. We are, you know, we're a little bit older, and we're a little bit more by the seat of our pants, because, you know what, danger is a little bit fun at this age, because who's going to get hurt but me? Pretty much nobody. But I have never seen I'm going to talk to him when he gets on the air with us, and he'll be calling in a little bit. But I'll tell you, I have never seen a motherfucker promote like this man promotes. Let me tell you what. I cannot tell you the last time I watched a movie trailer about a book.
Oh,
yeah.
Did he make one? I have not seen that yet.
No. He didn't make one. He made four of them. No, he is not playing. I'm so impressed. I was already impressed, but then I saw the trailers and I'm like, are you fucking kidding? I have not seen anybody do that much promotion in my entire life. So my feeling is, if he ever decides, you know what, I've had enough. I want to help somebody else out. If he ever wants to become a manager or a lawyer, this is my guy, because he will be all over the media. He's everywhere. He is on YouTube. He is on Insta. He is on Twitter. He's everywhere. I can't get away from him, which I don't want to do anyway, because have you seen him? He's stunning.
Oh, my
sweet.
God. He is gorgeous.
I know. Hello.
I just want to feed him cookies.
I'm telling you, this is the part of me where I say again, I am a 35-year-old gay man trapped in the body of a bisexual 58-year-old woman. I don't know how this happened. It just happened. But, yeah, I mean, the promotion for Psychic Witch, I can't wait to read this. I have to be honest. He's so generous about, like, showing you parts of the book. I feel like I've read half of it already. I mean, he's real. I mean, that's generosity of spirit right there, when you are writing a book and, you know, blurbing it and, you know, people are already reviewing it. And I'm like, I thought it was special people only that got to review it. So and I'm not anybody. So I was just like, yeah, when I get my copy, I can't wait to see it. And I really hope I can get an autographed copy, because you know me, I love the autographed copy. That's kind of my deal. But anyway.
Yes, we will hunt you down for autographs.
I will. And mm-hmm. I'll make my sister, I will beg her and supply her money to make her gingerbread pudding cake if you need food briberies.
You don't have to pay me. I will. I will do anything for my sister.
I know, but this gingerbread pudding cake situation, apparently I had talked about it so much on the air that people were like, well, you know what? Now fucking share the recipe, bitch. You've been talking about this damn thing for years. So, yeah, I'm curious to know how many people actually made the gingerbread pudding cake that my sister likes to make. Because it's the best thing in the world. I'm just saying, it's really fucking good. And if you're going anywhere for Yule, or your families are having Christmas or what have you, and you bring this gingerbread pudding cake, I will tell you that you will be the hit of the situation, because it's delicious. And if you warm it and put some really good quality vanilla ice cream on top of it.
Yes. It's amazing.
It's that kind of good. Yeah, it's like that kind of good. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I can't take, like, full credit for it, because I did find the recipe, but I have tweaked it to perfection, so technically it's mine. Because I did change quite a few things.
Yeah, well, I mean, then you made it your own. You started with a basic recipe. Hey, it's a lot like a spell, you know? You get a basic spell.
Exactly.
I mean, we all had to learn from somewhere. You get your basic spell, and you add your own flair to it, you know? Like, if you're adding feathers, or you're adding rocks, or you're adding a special glass, you know, to hold your water as a chalice, or... You know, everything is handed down from somewhere. Parts of everything came from somewhere else. You know, it's very rare to find something that's completely 100%. I mean, especially in witchcraft, it's, and music. some form of it's probably been done. You just may not know about it. But you add your own thing to it, and you make it your own, like a spell or a song or what have you. And that's kind of the beauty of recreating something in your own image. It's kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, yes. So I will tell you.
I'm very
Yeah, so definitely. I want to know who's making the gingerbread pudding cake because it's amazing. And I'm gearing up for Yule. How about you? Are you ready with anything? Do you know what you're doing? Do you know where you're going? Do you know who you're seeing?
I kind of. I mean, it's like, you know, if we could, like, keep illness out of this house for the next, like, couple weeks, that would be fucking awesome. Because if it's not me, it's my husband or my kid. And I've had it with it. But yeah, I have some things on order. So I've got a couple more people to get for. We've still got to get a tree. And it's like, and I'm not much for decorating because, you know, I'm not a rich person, so if I don't have to make the electricity go up just to please the neighbors, I'm good with that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have twinkle lights in the house, you know, and we put them on the tree. So we decorate for us.
Of course.
But yeah, we're still planning the X-Jamaganza. This is, I think, year 4.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think it's the 4th year. So basically, I mean, and I have to go to work that morning, but I'll be off at 12:30. What? Oh, I know.
You have to work.
If it's not legally mandated, we have to go. So it is what it is. I only work till 12:30, so I'm not terribly upset. I still, you know, by the time they are up and have had breakfast, I'll be home.
Well, there you go. Well, that's a good way to look at it.
Yeah, it's like, okay, I'll go make my money, make my boss some money, and then come home. And then, you know, it's playtime. Then I get into the pajamas immediately. First thing, the bra comes off. Second, the jammies go on. Exactly.
That's right.
Then we put nothing but Christmas music or, you know, we'll fire up the what do you call it? Because I got Ash a record player a couple years ago. So we'll fire up some Christmas records or put on Christmas movies or the Fire Log and, you know, just chillax and enjoy.
Nice.
And then, you know, I'll probably be making, like, you know, my meatballs and pasta because I don't feel like going all out because it's just going to be pretty much the three of us unless the other two kids come. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to that day.
No doubt.
What about you? What about you? Do you got 50 people for Christmas? Because you had what? How many for Thanksgiving?
12.
So, yeah, it should be up around, like, at least, what, 30?
No. Actually, my oldest friend in the world from, like, grammar school is coming to visit. Patty's coming to visit.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe the three of us will be able to get into a room all together at the same time. That might be nice.
Oh, my gosh. Miracle.
I know. She'll be here for a week, so it's a better opportunity than years past. So she will be coming for Christmas Eve, and she will be staying all the way through New Year's. So, you know, and I know this is like an thing, like, you know, if you're a first-time listener, I will tell you a little bit about this person, Patty. I have had a lot of, I'm 58 years old. I've had a lot of relationships in my life. I have known Patty since I was 11 years old. So my friendship with this woman is older than most of our listeners. So there you go.
That is so cool.
But she's coming to visit, so we're excited because it's just fun to have somebody from, you know, the old country, as it were, be around for the holidays. And, you know, we razz each other, and, you know, my husband and I first started dating when I was her roommate. So there's a lot of history all over the place. And just as an FYI, for those who are new listeners, the husband that I mentioned actually wound up being my third husband. Long story. If you continue to listen to this show for any length of time, I'm sure I will get to talking about all three of my husbands at some point. But anyway, that's enough about that. But no, I mean, I'm making traditional Italian like I always do for Christmas dinner.
Awesome.
I do not know what I'm making for Christmas Eve. And yes, I know as a witch, I you know, a lot of people have a lot of feelings about, you know, people who celebrate Yule and Christmas or Christmas as opposed to Yule. Bitch, give me a holiday and a reason to eat. I am pulling up a table. I don't care what the holiday is. I have gone out for Diwali. I have gone out for all kinds of things. If you give me a reason to find some really good food, I will fucking do it. You know?
Amen.
So I don't get off for Yule. I don't get off for Yule. I do get off for Christmas because I work for a Christian company. That's fine. I don't have a major issue. Don't fuck with me. I'll fuck with you. We're good, right?
Yeah, we good. I don't have to kill you.
Well, no, I mean, and I don't look at it that way. I mean, I came out, you know, as a witch to a member of senior management, and I know she told another member of senior management, and that's fine. As long as senior management doesn't have a problem with me, then I don't really worry about anything else for that matter. So it's fine.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, you know, we live in the South. This is sometimes what you have to put up with. So I put up with it, you know. They take very good care of me. I'm very spoiled. I have my own room. I have my own toilet. I mean, I work my ass off, but there's perks. So anyway, but yeah, so we're not having 1,000 people, but, you know, we're doing traditional cooking. I do not know what to make Christmas Eve. No clue as to what to cook.
Well, if you want to keep it traditional Italian, you could always do the seven fishes.
Let me explain something about doing the seven fishes, because I've done the seven fishes. I don't have enough energy to do four of the seven. And if you're not going to do all seven, you're fucking it up anyway. So, and I knew you were going to go to that fucking seven fishes thing because it is traditional. I can't. The work put in, oh my gosh, it's terrible.
You know what? Do roast duck. I did the first extravaganza we did. I did roast duck with roast potatoes and roast carrots. And I think Yorkshire pudding to go with it. Oh, my God. It is like the greasiest shit you will ever fucking eat. But, oh, my God, it's so good. It's like, I'm not kidding. I was swimming in grease.
No,
I couldn't even make fucking gravy with it.
I have made duck before, and the quality of duck fat, if you've got really good duck, is beyond belief. And it's like you will make your potatoes in it, you will make your eggs in it. You will find reasons to use duck fat that you would not have thought of before. And that sounds really good, but and I would love to eat it. I don't want to make it as much as I want to eat it because, you know, that's my level of enjoyment. I want to put it in my face and let a professional do it. But, that sounds super good. But I think I'm going to try to, like, maybe do something like order pizza.
There you go. You know what? I think that is probably the wisest decision. It's, you know what? Leave it up to other people that night. Fuck it. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know? It's,
I mean,
because, yeah, I think the first year I was, like, super excited because, you know, we always go to my husband's family, which is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, before we would go to my family. So
mm-hmm.
I don't cook holiday meals at my house. So I was super
right.
excited. I went all out like Charles Dickens style with, you know, I was
right.
going to make, you know, figgy pudding. I was going to, or Christmas pudding. I was going to make punch.
Uh-huh.
I was going to make all this shit. And then it was like, I got to the duck and the potatoes and the carrots. I'm like, ah, fuck it. Good enough.
Yeah, it's,
oh, and,
you
and
know,
the Yorkshire
you don't
pudding.
Think about it. And it
no.
sounds like fun, but it's a lot of work. It's really a lot of work. And I've done, that's why when you said seven fishes, I'm like, I'm never going to leave the kitchen again. Because
you're like, bitch, who are you talking
really,
to?
Seriously, I did do that 1 year, and it was delicious, and I fell asleep right after dinner and missed the entire evening.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry.
I was so tired because I was...
yeah, all those fishes you were fucking cooking.
No,
no
man.
Wonder. Yeah.
Seriously.
I've never done it.
It's work. If you're doing it all yourself, like when my mother-in-law was still alive and we would go to New York, you know, I would make fish and then my father-in-law would go and buy a bunch of seafood already cooked.
Oh, God.
Because he's like, okay, you can cook one fish. We're going to buy the rest because otherwise we're not going to see you. You're going to be in the kitchen the whole time. And I'm like,
aww.
Thanks, Dad.
He was a good guy. Speaking of sweet, guess who we have in
yeah.
the queue? We
okay.
have our guest. Right,
bring
him on.
Oh, my God. Okay. Bring him on.
Okay. Hello.
Hey.
Hey.
Oh, my God. Okay. So now I'm going to have my moment. Wait a second. All right.
Okay.
Cover your ears. I'm about to do it. Oh, my God. I'm talking to Matt Harris. I can't believe it. Okay. Thank you.
Oh, you're too funny. I think I need to hire you to do all my intros.
Oh
my God,
go.
I would.
She would be good
no
at
idea.
It, too. She really
I
would.
I love it. I would. I love it.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Happy Friday the 13th.
Yeah.
Crazy.
I didn't even realize. I didn't even think about it. Yeah, this is the last one of the year, isn't it? That's right.
Of the decade. Last one of the decade.
I don't know. Are we doing the decade thing? Like, what was this decade
really.
About? Like, what did it represent? Did we fucking
yeah.
gain anything? I don't fucking think so. I mean,
no.
you know, people do that stuff. It's like, did we learn anything this decade? Yeah, that we're a pack of
nope.
morons. Thanks. Great. Hi, Matt. I'm so happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
We're so happy to talk to you. You are the hardest working man in witchcraft. I just have to tell you.
I don't know
never
about
seen...
that.
Oh, honey, let me tell you something. As I was saying, I don't know if you were listening before you came on the air, but I have never seen movie trailers for a book before. That is impressive shit you got going on. Holy crap. How did you come up with that? And they're really cool too, by the way.
Thank you. I don't know. I was just like, I should have something on YouTube to promote the book. So that's what
wow.
I came up with.
that's really cool.
I mean, it is. I don't think I've ever seen anybody else do that. So that's pretty impressive. So, okay. You tell our listeners, some of them are young and are first learning about the people that we have on. So please tell the audience where you're from, what you're into, and about the book.
Okay. Well, my name is Matt Oren. I am a total occult, witchcraft, psychic, spiritual nerd. I write a lot. So I write on Pathos Pagan on my blog For Puck's Sake. I write for a couple of magazines. I get my first article in Witches and Pagans magazine, which I'm super excited about, in the next issue. I got a column there, so that's pretty cool. Yeah. I mean, I've been reading that for like ever.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thank you.
I know, I'm jealous.
What else to say? I am a witch. I am a professional psychic, and I have a book coming out.
Called Psychic Witch.
Called Psychic Witch, yeah.
Okay, so please, Psychic Witch is instructional, inspirational, directional, all of these things?
All of those things. So I was listening earlier, and you were saying you feel like you've read half the book already, and you really haven't, because there's 93 exercises in it.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so it was a lot of work, but it was also just kind of codifying things that I teach and things that I do. So it wasn't as hard as I think a book that would be more research-based would be.
Yeah.
But essentially the heart of it is, you know, I feel that psychic ability and witchcraft are kind of working with the same thing in different ways. So it's sort of like I see magic as the manipulation of energy to get what you want, right? And psychic ability is just sensing that. So it's sort of like speaking and hearing, and it doesn't make sense to just do one and not the other. Because I've met a ton of witches who, you know, they'll cast a circle or something, for example, and not be sure if it's really been cast. Whereas if you develop your psychic abilities, you can sense that. You know, and everyone senses things a little bit differently. For me, a common thing that happens is when a circle is cast, quote-unquote, correctly, I start hearing a high-pitched ringing in my ears, kind of like tinnitus, and it goes away as soon as the circle is released. So it's those sort of things that I think are important skills that there used to be an emphasis on in, like, much older witchcraft that has kind of gone away in favor of just, like, spells and things of that nature.
So you've
noticed the change in how witchcraft is practiced, performed, implemented. I know I have.
Yeah, absolutely. I started diving into this path around 7 years old, with you know, I saw the movie The Craft, and for me, that was like a religious experience, because I was raised Pentecostal. So, so I had no frame of reference that this sort of thing could be real. My idea of witches were, you know, green-faced Halloween figures, but they presented it, although it's fiction, and it's very Hollywood, they still presented it in a realistic way. Which has a lot to do with, they had someone from Covenant of the Goddess kind of advising it, as well as most of the girls had some dabbling experience in it, at least.
So Rachel True.
So I, you know, it started, it stirred something in me. So I tried everything that I could to get my paws on some sort of information like that. And I used to go to, well, first before that, I started checking out every book in my school library that had anything remotely to do with witches
yep.
or magic
yep.
or anything like that. And I started
yeah.
kind of forming my own little cult in a way where, you know, I had friends and I was like, you know, let's figure out how to do witchcraft. So we all started like checking out all these books in the library, which doesn't yield much results in like an elementary
yeah.
school.
Yeah. You gotta start somewhere though. That's pretty ambitious, I think.
Yeah.
And it's funny because
that's where I started.
They actually pulled all those books out when they noticed there was a weird trend of like
oh.
kids checking out books on like witches and ghosts and stuff like that. So they got a little bit nervous because this was a little bit of a different time than we are now. But I struck gold because they had those old like Time Life magazine books
yes.
on certain topics. Yes.
Yeah,
so
big black
I
one.
Found, yes, exactly. So I found one on like, it was like witches and magic or something. So I pulled it
yeah.
out and a lot of it's like folklore and history, like Salem and stuff. But in the very back, there was this like couple pages on modern witchcraft.
Yep.
And so it has like what you would expect, like there's a picture of Anton LaVey and it's talking about the Church of Satan. But then there was a picture of Alex Sanders and Maxine Sanders on a hill with initiates. And in the caption,
yeah.
it had the word Wicca. So
mm-hmm.
I was like armed with a word to go research.
Uh-huh.
So I used to go to the bookstore at my mall and try to check out, you know, all these Wicca books that caught my attention. And like several times I would go and I would be turned away because they wanted
oh.
a guardian with me to purchase those books.
Oh, right. Okay.
Which seems weird now. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like at the time.
Yeah.
And so eventually one day, I don't know if the employee was tired or just didn't give a fuck, but he
uh-huh.
let me buy my Silver Ravenwolf books. So,
that's awesome.
So yeah, I went home and I started devouring those. Which the Teen Witch book in particular, like, was so geniusly marketed. Because the cover looks like The Craft, right? I don't know
oh,
if
yeah.
you remember the old one.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah.
we're just a little bit older than you. My first book.
Yeah.
I'm a lot older. Bullshit.
And, yeah, I was 16 at the time, and I've looked about 20, you know, from the time I was 12 until I was about 29. Yeah, you know, I looked like in that 20 range, so they didn't question me, thankfully, but I remember that. But yeah, my first book was Sarah Lydon Morrison, and I had to like sneak it in the house in my pants. So I feel you on that.
yeah. I used to hide my witchcraft books in between my mattresses,
yes.
sort of like little boys do with porn.
Yes. That's clever.
But yeah, so that just kind of started this whole sort of lifelong spiritual quest. And I left witchcraft for many years. And then eventually came back to it and just, like, dove the fuck in.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've noticed that there are a lot of men who discover the craft, and for whatever reason, there's, like, a number of years where they part ways with it, and then they come back. Do you find that to be true? Because you're, like, the fourth person I know who said that.
Well, I definitely find it to be true for myself.
Yeah,
I think it's also, for me at least, it's a generational thing, because there's only, like, not to talk about anyone bad about anyone's work or anything like that, but the 90s started pumping out a lot of the same books regurgitated in different ways, you know? Uh-huh. And so I kind of felt like at a certain point, like there wasn't a lot of depth to it. So I left it to seek other things, which kind of led me full circle back to witchcraft. It was actually an experience I had that, like, I Googled it, and then I found that it was in a Christopher Penzack book, and so I checked it out, and I read it, and I was like, holy shit, like, there's substance in this. Like, Christopher kind of reignited the whole, oh, there's depth to witchcraft that I didn't know that there was. And when I moved out to the East Coast, he is amazing. Like, when you said, I'm the hardest working witch, like, my mind goes straight to Christopher. Like,
yeah.
That man is like
24/7. You're right up there with him, honey.
I'm not saying he's not hardworking. He is hardworking. But when you talk about somebody who knows how to promote and who knows how to keep their name in front of you every day, morning, noon, and night, honey, that's you. You are amazing.
Right.
100%. Great. I'm like, give lessons on that too, self-promotion, because you're a... Well, no, don't laugh, because I know a lot. Listen, half of the people I know personally, well, wait a minute, of course it's personally, how else would I know them? That was stupid. But anyway, half the people I know, more than half the people I know now are writers, and as much as they think they're out there promoting their stuff, most folks don't know how to. And that's why when I saw that you had done not one, not two, not three, but four videos for your book, I'm like, you know what? This is good shit. He needs to write a book about how to promote yourself as a pagan.
Thank you.
That's a good idea.
Just saying. Very, very clever stuff you got going on.
That was actually a discussion that I had with my publisher. They were a little concerned that I would, you know, burn people out and that it was too early. And I was trying to explain from my point of view, you know, because I'll be doing the in-person promoting, like festivals and workshops and stuff like that. But when it comes to online, like, it's a battle of algorithms. It's a battle of hashtags. Like, you have to pump that stuff out. And that's why we have a strong rise in this witchcraft that's outside of the pagan community. Because they did focus on that, and they did utilize that. And now they're the best sellers at the moment. Which, like, you know, I'm not saying that they're necessarily bad books, but they're different, and there isn't necessarily – a lot of them are very light, in a sense.
Yes.
You know,
not a
very,
lot of substance. Yes.
Right. Yeah. And that's not to say that they're bad. I mean, you know, everyone needs to start somewhere. I think – being a millennial is part of that for me. You know, I was just kind of, I grew up in a very, you know, we are the media, we have the internet. So use
it. Definitely. But I find a lot of folks just don't know how to harness that into something creative, eye-catching, you know, because people have very little focus. I mean, it's just true. You know, it's a very fast-paced society now. Images are hitting us at the speed of light. Information is passing by us. Only snippets of it actually get through. And I think your way of doing it is really cool because, and I don't think you're overdoing it or suffering from overexposure at all. I think it's good that you keep it in the line of sight. It generates buzz. It makes everybody feel like, we're going to be part of this thing when this thing comes out, and we're all going to do it together, and it's going to be great, and we're all going to learn the same thing, and it's going to be a point of reference for us to talk about. I mean, there's just a lot of, I think, very positive things that will come out of the way you're promoting yourself. I like it.
Yeah, and, you know, like, I have gotten some criticism of it, and I understand some people also don't really fully understand my motive for this. For me, it's not so much about, like, you know, being this big famous witch or, you know, making a lot of money off a book, because you don't make money off books, especially, like, unless, you know, I write a Harry Potter book or something. You know, there's really not money in the book, but my biggest goal is for this book to reach people and to impact them and to empower them and enchant their lives. And I particularly have a focus on my generation and younger. And you'll notice a lot of the aesthetics and how, you know, I'm promoting it is very geared towards younger people. Because I want to kind of bring those seekers, like the Instagram witches and the Tumblr witches, that are not necessarily coming across good information or deep information to find it and find, you know, the books and the teachers that I reference in it and discover that there's this whole world of witchcraft that is, you know, worth looking into and diving into that can totally change your life.
So you're kind of like a shepherd, which is awesome. I wish you were around when I was that age. I'm telling you.
I see it more as like a Trojan horse than a shepherd. But
wow.
I think
that's
shepherd horses too.
Okay. We can go with whichever one you like better.
Well, and like another big point of writing the book is that, like, you know, we do have all these disparate witchcraft communities now more than ever. And when you get into the more serious occult communities, you know, like some of the pagan communities, you know, like other esoteric orders and stuff, there's a lot of gatekeeping and looking down and, like, you know, I see a lot of people bitching about these Instagram witches and these, you know, these aesthetic witches and stuff like that. And my question is always, well, why aren't you helping them? You know, they're obviously interested. They're obviously drawn, you know, step it up. So part of the book is, you know, people have this kind of false notion of, you know, who can be a witch and who has psychic ability. All of us can. And especially, you know, I try to keep it very inclusive in my book. For example, you know, witch is a really hard word to define in this day and age. You know, something so simple, but it's so personal at the same time. So pretty much the book is, you know, how to, you know, open those psychic abilities, like a really in-depth, like, this is how you do it. This is how you figure out what your natural predispositions are, and then how to strengthen your weaknesses. And then after that, I kind of go into how to reverse engineer that to wield it as magic. And there's a lot of focus on using just your mind and the skills that you've developed for that kind of bewitched type instant, you know, wiggle your nose type magic.
I like it. Definitely.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Because also, like, you know, we have a lot of people that have disabilities and that have mobility issues, you know. Not everyone can stand up and, you know, walk a circle, you know.
That's
so
true.
I just wanted to show that there's
ways
to do
it. That's very positive. No, I think that's really amazing because I don't, you know, it's interesting. I don't hear a lot of people in the community talk about disabled folks. We have disabled folks in our community. We have all kinds of people in our community. I think a lot of folks are still stuck in this old mindset of, there's only one type of person that can be a witch. You know what I mean?
Right. Right.
And and that goes back to your point about gatekeeping, you know, because a lot of people tie it together.
And, you know, not to get dark, but if there was ever a time in history when we need as many magical people on this planet, you know, enchanting our reality, I mean, it's now.
You got
it's
that
definitely
right.
Definitely now. Yeah.
It's a mess right now. Everything's a mess right now.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Sure.
Speaking of, like, you know, and I don't, you know, expect like a full in-depth like class, but just advice, you know, I mean, cause a lot of us like, you know, empaths and people with cognitive or, you know, those type of abilities. Yeah. I've noticed like, you know, myself included and a few other people, I mean, it's almost like those powers have gone to sleep or are lying dormant. And I'm not sure if it's because of the energy in the atmosphere or if they just need to be asleep right now because we'd cause too much damage. But I don't know if you have any advice on rewaking those or should we let them sleep? Would it be safer for everybody?
I mean, I wrote a whole book on that, so it's not a short answer.
Okay, awesome.
But, you know, I do think that I see psychic ability and magical ability like any talent. So there's some people who are going to be naturally talented. But just like, so let's compare it to like art. You know, some people are naturally great artists. But, you know, it takes work. It takes putting continual effort and learning to kind of keep that at peak. I guess we could also compare it to like working out in a gym. You know, it's that whole, what you don't use, you lose. So if, you know, if we don't need it and we don't use it, it starts kind of going dormant. I like that word and I use that word in my book as well. You know, it can... It can be consciously stirred and awoken again.
Okay.
And there's also the point where, you know, sometimes, and I'll use your analogy of going to the gym. If you don't use it, you lose it, but you can't spend 24/7 in the gym either because you're making a living. So, you know, while the fact is that, you know, you do have to use it, there are times you have to, you know, put it aside for a little bit because you're making the rest of your life happen as far as, you know, putting food on the table or going to work. I mean, not that magic can't be employed all the time, and I think to a certain degree it always should be, but I think between making life work and the heaviness of the energy that we're all under right now, I think we consciously, and that's why I'm so looking forward to this book, have to reawaken it for ourselves because it is very easy to kind of fall under the spell of this negativity that we're under right now and just the day-to-day, you know?
Absolutely. I 100% agree. And I think another thing is, you know, when you do put a lot of effort into psychic ability. So, like, not to sound cocky, but one of the reasons I wrote this book is because I was so annoyed with every psychic book that I read versus my training. So, like, I think it sets people up to fry themselves. You know, there's a lot of, you know, a lot of books go into how to open up and how to, you know, awaken these abilities. But they don't tell you how to shut it the fuck off, you know. They don't tell you how to like turn it down or turn it up, you know. And these are all things that I discuss in my book, because you will literally like, you know, if it doesn't scare the shit out of you, you know, because it won't turn off, or it'll just fry you.
That sis, this book is for you, baby. I'm just telling you because there have been many moments where my sister has been like, I can't make them be quiet.
Yeah.
Because she hears everybody and they're talking to her because she listens. It's like, you got to shut them down.
You got to.
Yeah, but that's the problem. I shut it down, and now I can't shut it back on. It's like,
that's why we need
Exactly. Because it's frustrating because it's like, you know, I'll get a couple seconds and I'm like, okay, trying to light that pilot, you know, and then I get interrupted again. So it's been a difficult process. I mean, it's still there. Like, I notice my magic works when I don't focus on it. It's weird. If I have a thought, like I really want something to happen, and I don't focus on it too much because I'm also a Virgo and I overthink every fucking thing. You know, if I don't focus on it, it happens. If I put it out there, let it go. But
that's
my problem is, it's like the letting part is hard.
I discussed that in my book. So Aleister
I need
Crowley,
this book.
He refers to it as the lust of results. And you need to catch. So I talk about in my book is I talk about it as sort of like, I think I use yo-yo. So it's sort of like when you send off your magic to the universe, every time you're like thinking about it or touching it energetically, which thinking about it is, you're pulling it back to you before you cast it out again. And every time it comes back, it's weakened because it's also, you know, because you've touched it with doubt. You've touched it with, you know, stress and worry and things of that nature.
Yeah.
So, yeah,
oh my God,
letting
yes.
go is totally an important part of effective spell casting, in my opinion.
Okay. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Because, that's, you know, and I didn't correlate the two, but, that totally makes sense. It's, I'm trying to, like, add more to it. You know, every time it comes back to me, every time it comes into my mind, like, okay, oh, but I also wanted this to it. And it's just, it's fucking me up. I'm fucking myself up.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the biggest blockage people have with magic or most things in their lives is they get in their own way.
Yeah, you're totally right. And I have a tendency to do that. As it is.
Well, I think a lot of people overthink it. And, you know, when you send out a spell, when you send out a spell or you cast for anything, you know, you're supposed to just cast and believe it and move on and, you know, go about your business. But it's really hard because there's always that voice, especially with women that I find, you know, we question, do we deserve? Have we earned it? Can we figure out what it's going to be and how it's going to happen? And we add all this shit to it that doesn't need to be there. And we're fucking with the magic by trying to figure out the practical answer to it. And sometimes when you bring that, you know, non-magical mindset to, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. If you're using a magical mindset, why are you fucking it up with non-magical thought? That's why you gotta leave the shit alone. Cast it and leave it alone.
Yeah, another way to look at it, which is something that I explore in my book, is I discuss the energy body. So my cosmology in the book is seven energy bodies. So seven kind of auric bodies, right? And each one exists on a plane of reality. So, you know, we have an emotional body, and that's on the emotional realm. We have an astral body, that's on the astral realm, so on and so forth. So effective spell casting is literally moving it from the physical to the divine through all these layers by consciously putting that energy into it. So when you've sent it off to the divine level, which is where it then, you know, comes back to manifest in the physical, it's like throwing a ball up, right? And then it's going to come down. When you keep adding mental energy, you're pulling it from the divine back to that mental plane again. So letting go of that mental thought is allowing it to just do its thing.
Okay.
Does that make sense, or was that?
No, that totally makes sense. It totally makes sense. And yes, I'm pre-purchasing the book tonight. I'm like, I need it. No, because even that little snippet that's extremely helpful. You know, because like I said, I have a tendency to overthink. And then I'm like, you know, like sis says, well, okay, but will this happen? Will that happen? I'm like, I don't want anybody to get hurt. Okay, as long as it's not to the detriment of this person, or this person. It's like I keep adding caveat after caveat, and I need to knock it the fuck off.
Right.
As simple as that. Knock it the fuck off.
In my witchcraft training, with the witch's pyramid, the to be silent is not so much just about like telling people about the magic you did. It's about being silent with yourself about it, not dwelling on it, not focusing on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, have you met us? Do we sound like we're you? I'm just saying.
Not yet.
We got
We're
going to
get
show.
You one of these days, so.
No doubt. That's why I need this fucking book. I need this book right now. When is the release date, Matt?
February 8th. It'll be released on the full moon of Leo.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's an Aquarius. Oh, yeah, this is all strategically magic.
That's
I'm pre-ordering it right this minute, but damn, February killing me.
Imagine how I
feel. You're
killing me, Smalls. Let me tell you something. Somebody asked me, somebody who's not into witchcraft asked me today about who my guest was tonight, and I said, Matt Oren, and he's written this book, and they're like, wait a minute. Is that the guy, Psychic Magic? I'm like, yeah. They're like, he's fucking everywhere. I'm like, yeah, he is. They're like, so what's up with this book? I'm like, it'll do everything but give me head, apparently. So I got to get a copy. I just will get a copy, too.
Right, that's,
I mean, it's
that's
like
book
everything.
Two.
This book. Oh, really?
Oh, really? Tell us more.
No. I do have book two contracted. And I'm really secret about it. I'm really excited about it. I'm keeping it secret. The only detail I've released is that it is super compatible to the first book, Psychic Witch, and that Silver Ravenwolf did the foreword, which I'm like over the moon about.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
and it's
really
her,
exciting.
Yeah, and it's the first foreword she ever did.
I'm so happy for you.
So, for me, as I was saying, you know, my first introduction to witchcraft, like it's such a huge honor because that's the person I fangirl about,
Wow.
For me, it's Dorothy. Oh, no, I was just going to say for me, it's been Dorothy and Dr. Buckland, and I have been fortunate to be speaking with both of them, so.
I love Dorothy Morrison and her work.
Oh, isn't she amazing?
She's hilarious.
Yeah, I mean, like, Utterly Wicked is one of the best books.
Yes.
Like, I seriously think, even if you don't curse or hex or whatever, like, you should have it. You should have that book.
Oh, yeah.
You know, just to for a magical defense sense, to know what shit is when it's thrown at you. And the swifting spell in it, that's enough to buy the book just on its own.
Yes. Get it for the swifting spell, if nothing else.
Yeah. That has worked.
Amazing.
Yeah, it's fucking amazing. So, yay,
but
and it's finally
that's
being reprinted.
I know. So I need a third autographed copy. I have two so far. So I've got
great.
My first copy, I got Dorothy to sign, and then I bought another copy and I got her to sign it. Or no, I bought it from her, signed, just so I would have a backup copy. I've also, I've got a Kindle copy too. So
I do that shit
I'm going to have four. Yeah. You got to have it everywhere. You know?
So like my main tradition.
One for taking.
Right.
No.
Sorry.
Oh, no.
I'm sorry.
I was just like relating to that. So my main tradition is sacred fires that I'm a priest in, which is Devin Hunter's thing. So all his books,
yeah.
Not only are they on Kindle, but I have like 3 copies of it. So I have of every book of his. So I have the autographed one, I have the one for the bookshelf for reference, and then I have the one that I write in and highlight, and you know, I think that's the sign of a good book.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Oh, that is so
and
cool.
As you could tell, you have picked one of our favorite books to note like that. So, yeah, I mean, we're very excited about the new version.
Yeah, yeah. And Amy Blackthorne did the foreword, apparently.
Yes.
And I love her. So.
Oh, she's amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
I have her autograph, too.
So, Matt, I have to ask you, now that we're actually talking, which of her teas do you recommend to me? Because I made my recommendation to you and made sure you were able to try it. So tell me what you like.
Oh, my God. So I don't know. They were all really, really good. You know, I did really like the Apollo tea. I think that's the one you sent me, right?
Or it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I sent you.
Yeah,
I love it.
The Apollo one was really good. But none of them, like, there wasn't one that I didn't like. You know, they were all fucking great.
That's awesome. Amy's incredible. As a matter of fact, unfortunately, I was so sick on the episode that she was supposed to be on, and we've got to reschedule her because lately, I have to tell you, a lot of people are getting sick. I had 2 friends with eye issues, and this is just in the past week, 2 friends with eye issues, 1 friend with head issues, like severe headaches and a lot of pain. I've got another friend who's having incredible bouts of swelling, and it's all seeming to come from absolutely nowhere. Are you picking up that? Have you heard anything about people being especially out of sorts the last couple of weeks or so?
I mean, nothing like that. I mean, like people, I know people are getting the normal kind of sick just because of the season, but I haven't noticed people in my life going through severe.
Okay, because I noticed it started like the day after Thanksgiving, like everybody was suddenly, I mean, I was out, like bad out, and everybody around me was like just these different things, different serious and not serious ailments that just seemed to all happen at the same time. It's been really kind of weird. Maybe it's an age thing. I don't know.
Yeah, or astrological or something.
Maybe.
But I hope everyone heals and feels better.
Thank you.
Sad to hear.
So I wanted to ask you about sex and magic, because it's a topic that people...
Okay.
Well, I mean, I do have to ask these questions because I'm curious. Well, I mean, like, there are people who will talk about it, and there are people who are like, oh, we don't do that anymore, and there are people who are like, we do that all the time. What do you mean? I mean, so where do you think is the appropriate – is there an appropriate role for sex and magic these days, or is it too touchy a subject, and do you address it in the book?
So, no, I do not address it in the book. I think anything with sex and consent is going to be a consent personal thing.
Okay.
You know, in all the traditions I've been trained in, it's kind of a hands-off thing. So for example, like sacred fires and black rose, like we can't even flirt with anyone that is a different level than us, and it's kind of discouraged to flirt with people of your level. Nevertheless, anything sexual, just because there have been a lot of cases of people abusing that sort of a thing. I think that, for example, if we look at like Wicca and forms of witchcraft like that, you know, there's an emphasis on the great rite. But a lot of that is also symbolic, and it can be symbolically done. One of the things that I really try to bring emphasis on in my book is how these older occultists, these ones who sort of gave us everything we have, they really put emphasis on the mind and imagination and symbol and how powerful that is. So I think that sex is very, very powerful. And I think that a lot of magic is, I don't want to say sexual, but it's that same creative energy that you're tapping into. And if you can tap into your own sexuality while performing magic, you know, you're sort of opening that portal of creation. But, you know, everyone's mileage will vary. And, yeah, I don't have any personal hard rules other than that of my own traditions, which is just that, you know, it's not necessary, and so we don't do it.
There you go. I think that's really cool because, you know, back in the old days, and when I say the old days, I mean like back in the 70s and 80s, you know, before
when
before we all had
roamed
the earth. From an informational aspect, it kind of is like when dinosaurs roamed the earth, because we were limited in what we had access to, and, you know, a lot of people used sex to harness magic because we didn't fucking know any better. Oh, actually, people before, we didn't fucking know any better either. And, you know, our resources were really limited. I mean, you know, my first two books, the first one I bought when I was 11, it was The Complete Book of Witchcraft, which I still actually have. It's that fucking old, but I have it. And The Diary of Sybil Lee,
was
great. Yeah, you know, and I mean, but we were all, you know, I was still on, you know, that end of the experimentation, and, you know, we had the Farrar's book, and we had the Big Buckland Blue book, and, you know, I never really got into Scott Cunningham. That's not a slight. I just didn't know about Scott Cunningham very much and all of those books until later, and they kind of seemed, just for me in my head, a little commercial, like, I don't know, like it was cleaning it up a lot. I don't know, maybe I'm not saying that right, but that was just my impression of it. So I kind of didn't stay in that direction. I read Z Budapest, and I read Patricia Crowther, and, you know, some other things that I was attracted to. You know,
but now that
we have all this information and it's all modern, and, you know, there's other ways to harness energy, and it's not all, you know, there's a better way now for folks to know the risks involved.
Christopher Penzack refers to that as the great blessing and the great curse. You know, the great blessing is we have access to all this occult information and religious information. And that is the same curse, because there's so much information out there.
Yeah, you don't know where to start.
Right. If, for anyone who's listening that is interested in sex magic, the best book I've ever read on it that I feel is highly ethical is Sex, Sorcery, and Spirit by Jason Miller. And any book by Jason Miller is fucking phenomenal.
He's good.
Okay.
But
yeah,
that's the book that I would recommend to people. So it's sex in all its angles. So, you know, solo, partner, things of that nature. It is very heteronormative, just because Jason is a straight man, and that's his point of reference. but I highly recommend that for anyone. You know, you can just tweak it a little bit for whichever way you're swinging.
Thank you.
You know what? So, that's a shame that you all have to do that. You know, there should be more books on, you know, gay sex magic. There really should. You should write one.
Yeah.
And it's just loading stuff onto your plate, you know.
Yeah, I think I already have, other than my contracted obligation, I have like 5 or 6 book ideas that I really want to do.
Okay.
So.
Never mind, just ignore the witch in the corner.
Yeah, I'll keep the gay sex magic for my personal life.
There you go.
Instead
there
of
you go.
Instructing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it really, I mean, it is something that I think you can develop with a partner, you know, over time. There's a whole lot of trust that goes into it. You know, back in the early 80s, we did a lot of shit willy-nilly. We made a lot of mistakes. Oh, boy, did
yeah.
we make a lot of mistakes. Uh-huh. We attracted people. We didn't undo certain magic. You know, and I have this thing about if you do a spell regarding love and you do it on yourself, that's fine to do it on yourself because you're not imposing your will on someone unsuspecting or without permission, because that
right.
I don't like that shit. But
yeah.
you also have to remember that when things change, if you've moved on to another relationship, you kind of have to go back and undo the other spell with the other person, because if you don't, that shit will sneak up on you when you are not looking.
Right.
I've had it happen. Ooh. So, yeah, I mean, like I said, we've made a lot of mistakes. Everything I've learned, I have pretty much learned the hard way because I am very hard-headed.
Well, when it comes to sex magic, too, you don't necessarily need a partner. A lot of chaos
often
magic.
True.
So the joke is, you know, the go-to charging of a sigil in chaos magic is masturbation. And Crowley. So I love Crowley. You know, I know he's a flawed man, but among other than just being
all?
Like an occult genius, exactly, he has
mm-hmm.
such a dark sense of humor. And like, yeah. you know, that's what gets demonized because people think he's literal. So he talks a lot in a few books about child sacrifice, and that was him talking about masturbation. So like, it's like, so when you know what he's talking about, like, you know, the dude is fucking hilarious, you know, especially for a Victorian, you know, because, yeah, like, so, you know, you have these conspiracy theorists being like, oh, you know, it's all about like, you know, he wrote about like killing children and, you know, sex with children. And it's like, no, he didn't. He was talking about like getting your rocks off, you know, for whatever the ritual is.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That puts it in a whole new light.
Yeah. He had a pretty dark sense of humor, which I love.
Well, you know, I got to say, I got to give it up to the Brits because, you know, their sarcasm is like a totally another level, you know.
Right.
It's like, it's you know, awesome. You think you come to the South and you hear, you know, well, bless your heart. And that's like, that's almost cussing you out to your face down here. But
right.
you go over to Britain and it's like, you know, you're like, oh, thank you. You know.
Right.
Oh, that's so sweet. Thank you so much. And they're like telling you to fuck off, you know?
Yeah. So that's funny because that's actually, to go full circle to the craft, that's how I made an ass of myself to peruse a book. Because she saw
her?
Something. No, I didn't meet her. I met Rachel True,
okay.
But not,
yeah.
not. This was on Twitter. So she saw something
okay.
that I wrote that involves the craft and its impact on my spirituality and path. And she was like, oh, bless your heart. Right.
Oh.
And I was like, I had this whole moment of like, holy shit. Is she like, is this shade?
Yeah. She told me to fuck off.
Right. Right. So like I tweeted her back and I was like, you know, like just asking like, what do you mean? And like it was like I was an alien or something. And she's like, no, I'm saying it was really sweet. And so like, oh, I felt like a total ass because when I hear aww, bless your heart, you know, I never
yes,
hear it in a positive manner.
Exactly. No. But I think she lives in California and I grew up in California. So it's something completely different. They actually genuinely mean it. It was a weird
right,
thing. The transition was like, wait, what? Oh, okay. You don't mean that the way you said it. Well,
yeah, because in the South, like, that's the meanest thing you can say to someone.
Uh-huh.
That's worse than the F word.
Yes.
So I was
like,
does she think I'm a complete idiot? Like, you know?
No, it's really hard because words are starting to mean different things all the time, so it's getting a lot harder. And when things are regional like that, it gets even more confusing. So, you know, and it happened to me last week. Somebody walked into the office. I said, oh, my God, here. And I handed him a glass of water, and he's like, what's up? I was like, you just look thirsty. Well, bitch, I didn't know what thirsty was.
Oh,
are you kidding
oh,
me?
Shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I meant, like, you really need some water. You look like you are sweating to death. That's all I meant. Holy shit. I can't keep up. It's changing all the time.
Or even, you know, like subcultures too. So like for me and a lot of gay men, like we laugh our ass off when we hear or see straight people talking about how much they want cake or how much they love cake, things of that nature. Because for us, like cake is the word for ass. You know?
Oh.
Oh. Yeah. So like, you know, like when you have like, you know, Becky on Facebook being like, God, I just want to eat so much cake right now. You know, like we're all kind of snickering in the corner.
Come on, Becky. We'll
oh
show you where it's at.
Ooh, I will never
it.
Think
That's
of
hilarious.
I am only talking to okay, there's nothing wrong with pie, right?
Not that
there's
of.
Anything wrong with the cake either, but, you know, I'm not going to misappropriate if I say from now on I'm only eating pie.
when you see gay men talking about cake online, that's
okay.
what they're talking about.
Back away from
thing.
That conversation.
I work with a gay man, and somebody delivered, no joke, apple cake and pumpkin cake yesterday.
Ooh.
And he's like, yeah. And he's like, hey, babe. I'm like, yeah. He's like, you want a piece of cake? I was like, I like cake. He's like, yeah, me too. I'm going to cut you a little bit of cake. No joke. This is what he said to me. He's like, I'm going to cut you a little cake, and then I'm going to take all the cake, okay? And I'm like, that's fine. I don't care. You can eat all the cake you want. And here I am having this conversation yesterday, and now I'm learning that everything I said yesterday meant something totally damn different. Oh, I am going to kick somebody in the ass on Monday. I am just telling
you're gonna
you.
You're
going
to kick somebody in the cake.
Yes, I'm going to kick his cake. Oh, my God. That's so funny. I wish I had known that yesterday.
Yeah. Yeah, so hopefully awesome. I won't get in trouble by the gay liberal elite controlling things for revealing one of our secrets, but
oh come on.
Yeah, that's
we it's
seriously, I'm bisexual. It's okay. I'm everybody's friend.
Yeah. And most of my friends I have a handful of straight friends, so yeah, you're good. We're not gonna tell any trade
no
secrets and anybody that listens to this show, you're sworn to silence, so
yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, that
disclaimer.
Exactly.
You go tell all 3,000 of them. I'll wait.
Yeah. I just did.
Good luck to you. I'll
just
wait. Now you got to tell them individually, sis. All right.
Yeah, no.
You know.
No.
Matt, I'm in love with you, Matt.
If you're not paying attention, you don't get that.
I have a gay man crush right now, and I'm having it all over Matt Orr. Oh, my God. I hope that's
okay. I'm not
going to
lie. I'll join you in that.
I won't do anything inappropriate ever, but I will tell you
we
that
we just
want to
feed you cookies. That's
you.
It. Yeah, just cookies.
Yeah,
seriously.
I love cookies, so.
No cake.
No cake.
Yeah. No cake.
I will make special cookies. I promise.
Yeah, I think I can get my own cake.
Yeah, there you
no
go.
No doubt. I've seen your pictures. You could have
oh,
cake
yeah,
my
no,
cake
I'm
and
sure
everybody's
have.
Cake if you wanted it.
Yeah.
You have no problem getting the cake.
He's got his choice of the bakery.
I'm telling you.
Oh my God!
All the cake he wants.
You have
oh my God.
No idea how red I am right now. Like I can feel it in my face.
Gotcha.
But this is one of the pleasures we have as older women, is making young men blush.
That's right. I will do it every chance I get.
Exactly.
Oh my
gosh. And we'll pinch
Matt,
your cheek.
I have to tell you. How much I appreciate this upcoming book that I can't wait to get my hands on. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate you because I follow you, obviously, not in a stalker way, but in a fangirl kind of way, which is also questionable for a 58-year-old, but fuck it. It's my life. I can do what the hell I want. But anyway, I'm really appreciative of your spirit and who you are, because I see how you interact with people, and I was kind of moved to tears by something you posted yesterday, and it was like, oh, I got chills, and it was just a blessing to everyone that was there along the way, no matter how great or how small. And I think that level of gratitude is something we should all try to remember, because it's easy to forget in the day-to-day. But I promised you I would only keep you for an hour, and I'm trying to be a woman of my word. So I just want to tell you that I adore you, and we cannot wait to get this book, and we cannot wait to have you back on, and we hope you will come back on and spend some more time with us in the not-so-distant future.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I would love to. This has been a lot of fun. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you. Do you want to tell people anything about classes or anything else that's coming up?
So I have a lot of things coming up next year because of the book. Some things have been announced, some things haven't. If you go to my Facebook author page, Matt Warren Author, the event page has everything that has been announced, and there will be more things that are announced as time goes on. So that's just kind of the easiest way to keep tabs on what the fuck I'm doing in person.
Yay!
Because I'm more than just an internet, you know, thing.
Yeah.
Oh my God, you're a real person?
I am, yeah. Yeah, I know.
And multifaceted. Multifaceted, too. I mean, This has been a really great honor for me. I have wanted to talk to you for a really long time. And I know sis and I cannot wait to have you back on, and thank you so much again for spending this time with us, and can't wait till the next time, and we will talk to you soon.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. Have a great night.
You
thank
too.
You. You too, hon. Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.
He's so awesome.
I know.
I love him.
I mean, he's pretty amazing. He's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
I'm very excited about reading this book because I think, you know, we know a lot of authors, and we have a lot of authors on, as anybody who listens to the show knows. But, you know, it's always a struggle to find the new and unique and different approaches. And I'm just really excited about this
this approach and his way of being. I see how he interacts with folks. He's delightful, and I hope everybody will buy a copy of Psychic Witch because it seems like it's going to be really fantastic. So I'm excited.
I'm ordering my copy tonight because I definitely need that. You know, I need to, like, refocus, you know. And every once in a while as witches, we need to do that. We need to take a break.
Yeah.
We need to refocus, especially if there's a lot of shit.
Yeah, a lot of shit going on right now. Yeah. And don't forget to also buy another copy of Utterly Wicked because the new cover is coming out. And, you know, if you have the edition, the original edition, which is now selling for over $300 a copy.
I know.
You heard me. I went, whoa, dude, I need everything of Dorothy's that I can scoop in original copies. Holy crap. And I've got a lot of stuff. So I need to go figure out what editions I have of everything. But, yes, Utterly Wicked. And you heard Matt Oren himself recommend Dorothy Morrison's Utterly Wicked. I, too, highly recommend, as does my sister. Desperate House Witches highly recommend Utterly Wicked by Dorothy Morrison. Every witch needs this book. Even like Matt Oren said, even if you don't curse, even if you don't hex, it is good to have this reference book. And it's a great book. It's just a great book. It's just a great book. Get it.
Even for the swifting spell alone, and you will use it. You can get the candles. Yeah.
Yep.
Easy peasy, cheap and breezy. Which is the way a lot of us witches like it.
Oh, yeah. There's a reason why we use that spell for a lot of different things. Oh, yes. It's one of the best spells I've ever used.
And I'm going to put it up on the page. I think I'm going to pin it just for right now. I'm going to do a Yule list. And I realize I haven't done one this year, but if you would like to post your listing in the comments, you are more than welcome. We will be posting our favorites. And if you want to do your one-stop shopping Yule, Christmas, / whatever holiday that you are celebrating, go check it out.
Mm-hmm.
Grab you some stuff and you're done.
Yes. So my 2019, before we go, my 2019 witch to watch for 2019 was the incredible Thorne Mooney.
Yes, I love her.
Amongst others, she was my number one pick for 2019. Definitely go get her book. She's working on another book or seven at this point, knowing Thorne. if you are looking for additional gifts to give for Yule or Christmas or whatever, cannot recommend enough Thorne Mooney and Dorothy Morrison. Utterly Wicked, get whatever print you can, because once it goes out of print and they have to do a reissue, the print you have will go up in value, as we saw from the first edition. So anyway, that's just my picks. And this is going to put up a list of stuff as we come up with it, I guess. And we will be adding to it. Of course, Patty Wigington will be on that list. Amy Blackthorne, Sacred Smoke will be on that list. We will we'll talk about it. Yes, sis. We'll put it up on the page. That sounds great. All right. I am going to motor because I have work to do in addition to show work. I actually have other work. I'm tired and I'm old. Anyway, I love you all.
And I'm
going
to go back
very
to
much.
Bed.
Yes, and I'm going to go back to bed next week.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dorothy Morrison, our guest next week is going to be the wicked one herself. Yeah, she's back again. That's right. Just before Yule, you're in for a treat. She's coming back to talk to us next week. The amazing Dorothy Morrison. Hooray. I will talk to y'all later. Star out for the
night. We love you guys.
Good night, y'all.
Good night. And talk to you next week.